Amen. So, all right. So there are many things in our faith tradition that we do. We do things like communion. And another thing we do is like baptism. And so we do some of these things. And because like it's kind of what you're supposed to do. Right, it's kind of the thing that you're supposed to do. You kind of, I come to church. I'm pretty sure I understand why I come to church. Pretty sure I understand why I do this or why I do that. Why I give my money and all the things. I'm pretty sure I understand all the things. And then this baptism thing is a is one of those things that this is something that you just do. Right, you just somehow or some reason you get yourself dunked, or as my faith tradition as I grew up, I got sprinkled and all that. But so whatever your faith tradition is, this idea of baptism is a topic that we as believers, and it's been forever, actually. Well, not forever, ever, but a long, long, long time. This idea of baptism. So to understand baptism, we need to understand the story of humanity. To understand baptism, we really need to go back and talk about, like, what is this story all about? Like, what is the story of humanity? Because it's the story of the Bible. As we look at Scripture, we see that the story of the Bible is the story of humanity. And so to understand baptism, we need to, there is a lot that's gone on before when John the Baptist shows up and is baptizing people. There's a lot of the story that's gone on before Jesus shows up on the scene. And so when we talk about, then we talk about being a Christian, we talk about that this idea that, well, when you become a Christian, God forgives all your sins, and you're supposed to do all the right things. And that's what we have called our modern cultural Christianity is kind of what we've landed on. And this idea that Jesus died for our sins, and because of Jesus died for our sins, we're forgiven and do all the right things. Check all the right boxes, right? Well, as you know, one of my favorite words, that's true-ish. There's a lot of truth, 100%. Did Jesus die for your sins? Yes. Are you forgiven as a follower of Jesus? 100%, yes, 100%. Is there forgiveness for everything that you could possibly do? 100%, yes. Yes, there's forgiveness. But there's more to this story than just forgiveness of your sins. There's more to the story of humanity than that. So, and then sometimes we start reading in our Bibles, and you're like, oh, there's a story about Abraham, and Abraham did this, right? And then we go, oh, then we flip over and go, oh, there's a story about David, and then David, you know, killed Goliath and all the things. And then maybe go further back and we go, oh, there's this Noah and there's a flood and all this stuff. And we read these stories, and these stories are great in and of themselves. But they're also, I'll call them the smaller story. They're the smaller story of a greater narrative that God's telling. These are individual smaller stories of the greater narrative and in the greater story that many times I believe I've been a Christian like forever, right? So, and for a long time, I missed the whole story because I got stuck in the weeds of the little smaller stories and I didn't see the whole overarching story. So I want to make sure, and if you've been with us before and if you've been here for any amount of time, you're going, oh, okay, here goes David talking about the story of the Bible, because it's crucial, because a lot of it we have missed in North American Christianity, honestly. And modern Christianity, we've missed the whole story. There is more to the story. And you're like, oh my gosh, what kind of church is that? We're going to get into heresy? And all. No. Just relax. So I want to talk about the larger story. So we know in the beginning, when God created humanity, God created humans, Adam and Eve, we see that God said, put them in this garden, beautiful garden, and said, you can do everything except this thing. Don't do this. Don't eat of this tree. Eat of all the trees of the garden, but don't eat of this tree. And this through this, as the story goes, man was tempted, mankind, man and woman, both of them, all you Eve haters. They were both tempted, and they both ate. Amen? They both ate, and they both, and the words we use is they both tried to determine what's good and evil, right and wrong, on their own choices, in their own accord, in their own thinking. They were tempted, and they fell. There's a lot of consequences to that for humanity. So immediately the consequences are their children. We see the first murder that happens immediately from born out of jealousy. There's a murder that happens. And then it just continues to kind of go downhill. And then Noah shows up, and Noah's like, then God's like, all right, we're going to restart, right? I did a whole series called Reset. Like, here's a big reset. And we're going to reset the thing. And then, like, it was like good, and then it was bad. And then we see Abraham and the covenant promise. God gives Abraham a promise that says, then I'm going to give you a land, a nation, and a people. I'm going to create that from you, Abraham. And you're going to be the father of many nations. And the whole earth is going to be blessed through you. And so, like, you're like, yeah, okay, here we go. Here's the plan. We're moving forward. Man, I wish it would have been that easy. Because it wasn't. Because we see even Abraham making terrible life choices, as we would call it. Terrible life choices. Oh, by the way, when you read your Bible and people go, oh, yeah, like, these people, you should totally emulate their lives in the Old Testament. No. These are hugely flawed people, right? And so then the law comes. Moses on the mountain gets the law. Remember, you've seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, right? Holds up the Ten Commandments, you know, these things. And then all the other commands and all the purity laws and all the other things. And God says, do this. He says, I put before you life, death, blessing, cursing. Hey, answer to the quiz, teachers. Choose life. Here's the rule. Like, I'm about to send you into this land. When you go into this land, don't be conformed to the people that are there. But obey my laws. Obey my ways. And it's a colossal failure. So then the book of Judges happens. If you ever read the book of Judges, it's one of the most depressing books of the Bible. Because there's not happy endings in the book of Judges. It goes from bad to worse to wow, oh my gosh. That's how the book of Judges goes. Like, read Samson. Like, you know, the people we do, Samson's awesome. No, Samson's, wow, he's definitely a bad human. So then they say, well, we'll get a king. That's what we'll do. All these judges, they're not really working for us, God. We're going to get a king. Let us get a king, and then the kings will rule, and they'll be godly kings, and it'll be great. God, it's a great idea. Go along with it. Okay, you're going to have a king. But if you have a king, this and this and this and this and this and this will happen. And you know what happens in the book of 1st, 2nd Kings, and all this and this and this and this and this and this happens. And all of a sudden, like I've said before, there's a good king, there's a bad king. There's a good king, and there's a bad king. There's a bad king, and there's a bad king in Assyria and Babylon. And they get taken away into captivity. Well, maybe they'll learn their lesson in captivity. So then they get out of captivity, and they come back. They build a new temple because the temple was destroyed. They build a brand new temple. And then just things aren't the same as they were before. Actually, there's a little bit of a, you feel it as you read this new temple, and you feel the presence of God's not like it was. And things aren't like they should be. So we end the Old Testament with this, if you read it like I believe you should read it, there is something fundamentally flawed with humanity. Like, this idea of sin is woven into the very fabric of existence. And we see it all through the Old Testament. But not just the Old Testament. We see it today. We see it today in powers, in institutions, in government evils, right? We see it in the we see it on the destruction on a personal level. When people get together, they can do all kind of horrible things. And as we see in our world, we see, wow, like is there anything that's righteous? Is there anything that's good? And we look at the things that are going on around us. And by the way, the whole world is not in the United States. Like, you look at the things that are going on globally in our world. We just got back from Honduras. We went to Malawi. Let me tell you, like, the atrocities of humans against humans is awful. There is something flawed with humanity. My own personal story. When I turn myself away from God and the things that it causes in my own life. Again, the stain of sin seems to be woven into the fabric of our whole existence. Do you see this? Do you see this in our world? Listen, that's the story that the Old Testament is telling. That we are flawed. We have turned, for all of us have sinned. All of us have turned away from God. Romans will later tell us that all none are righteous. No, not one. And then Paul writes this in Romans chapter 7. And listen if you don't, and we've read this before recently, but I want to, it goes with what we're talking about. He says this in verse 21 of Romans chapter 7. Paul writes this, so I discover this law. When I want to do what is good, evil is present with me. How many of y'all? Amen, Paul, I'm with you. Amen, right there. I want to do what's good, but man, I find myself doing, wow. For my inner self, I delight in God's law. There's part of me that wants to do good. But I see a different law in my parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. Isn't that true? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Who will rescue us as humanity from this sin that seems to be in our world, that the things I want to do these right things, but there's this idea that things in me choose to go against God, that I still want to choose right and wrong on my own thinking. That I still want to figure it all out on my own. And God, I hope you're kind of with me in all this, right? And he says in verse 5, in verse 24, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? And he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you glad he didn't leave us in that state? Thanks be to God that with my mind myself, I am serving the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. So this sin nature is unfortunately, humanity's nature is to move away from God. That's the story of humanity. From the Old Testament to now in our history. But Jesus is the difference. Then Romans chapter 6, we're going to get kind of, bear with me, just listen closely. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. It said, what should we say then? That we continue to sin so that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin, this is talking about believers, people who are Christians, people who accepted Jesus, people who are followers of Christ. Absolutely not. Can we who died to sin still live in it? Or are you unaware? Here we go. We're going to use the baptism word. That all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we, know that our old self was crucified with him, so that our bodies ruled by sin may be rendered powerless. Are you hearing me as a Christian? So that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. There's a power been given to you by Jesus through his death, burial, and resurrection to have power over that nature of sin that's in you. And then it says this in verse 7. Since a person who has died is free from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we also believe that we will live with him. And that's not just when you die. It's now. Now. Live now. For the death he died to sin once for all time, but the life he lives to God. So you too, same as Christ, consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. Therefore, teachers, what do you put the word therefore there? All of what I've just said before, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies that you obey its desires. See, the symbol of baptism, when you go down into the water, so we believe in immersion, because it's we'll get to the Jewish way here in a minute, but it's the way of death and being raised to walk in newness of life, right? So it's interesting. So we see John the Baptist. I don't know about you, but it's interesting that you see John the Baptist come on the scene and he's baptizing people. And people are lined up to get baptized. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, that's before Jesus. Like, how does that all work? I thought Christians got baptized. Like, what is that whole thing? Well, I'm glad you wondered that. How many of y'all ever wondered that? Like, what is John the Baptist doing baptizing people? Well, it turns out that this is a common practice for the Jewish faith. The mitzvah. Is that how you say it? Mitzvah. Everybody say mikvah. Everybody say mikvah. Mikvah. And so basically, so in the old Hebrew law, like the impurity laws, so if you touched a dead body, right, you were considered deemed unclean by the law of Moses. So, and what you would have to do is you would go wash yourself and cleanse yourself, show yourself to whatever, and then you'd be clean. So a woman, they have a baby. You're considered ritually unclean, so you wash yourself, right, to become clean. This idea, this ritual purity, the waters were called the mikvah. And what you would do, and actually they still practice it today. Actually, if you go to LA, it's like a spa day. So, okay, we'll get a little real. Like, so the idea is like, so when you get down into like purity laws, when you get down into the water, you're just like you came from your mama. No, like you're right. Right? So what you have to do is you take a bath, and like, so they take a bath and they're like, and they say, well, we just pray and we just invite God. It's actually kind of a holy kind of thing. And then they go into the waters, bare before God. And they dip in the waters of the mikvah to become ritually clean. And it's amazing because this idea, like many others, if you've never been to the Seder that we do during the Holy Week, it's amazing how many of the things that the Jewish people did mirror the reality of what Christ has done for us. So the going down into the water and the coming up out of the water of the mikvah would present you ritually clean. And Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, and then raised to walk, has made you clean, has made you free from sin, has presented you before God, been declared over you as pure and holy before God. And that's how you stand. and the tradition. So it wasn't uncommon for people to go, and actually it wasn't back then, they didn't have spas, right? So the water in the mikveh, no matter if it's LA or wherever it is, it has to be natural water from natural sources, right? So rainwater or whatever. So the rivers would be a fine place to do the mikveh. So John the Baptist is doing the mikveh ritual, producing the cleanliness of the people and the repentance and calling forth repentance of the people. Interesting. Isn't that interesting? So, what are the ramifications for us? So glad you asked. Again, you guys are asking all the right questions this morning. So this way, I want you to understand, like, you were made. I want you to get this in your own heart. You were made for Eden. Hear me. You were made, created for Eden. Fellowship with God. Peace. Goodness. Relationships. Fellowship. Love. That's, you were made for that. I'll prove it to you, because there's something in you, even now as you sit right there, that yearns for it. That yearns. When you see the world around you, you go, there's something not right in the world. Solomon says that God's put eternity in the hearts of every person. There's something in you that cries out for Eden again. And that cry, because that's how you were made. Humanity was not made for the chaos that we see in our world. God didn't create this world for wars and anger and resentment and division and strife and all this. They didn't create this world for Facebook, for opinions to be flown all over the place. And the fights that go on, like the, boy, those courageous Facebook warriors. There you go. Sorry. Not sorry. We were created for this, right? We're created for unity, goodness, fellowship. But the sin of our world, defining right and wrong on our own terms, choosing for myself whether I should have vengeance or not, choosing for myself whether I should love this person or not love this person or whatever. That's not how we were made. And Jesus comes on the scene and he starts declaring, he goes, I have come that you may have life and life to the full. Like, life is the way it was intended you to live. I have come that you would experience that. And the thing that's been hindering all of that all along has been the sin culture. So 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm not going to read it, but it talks about this idea. I want you to go read it later. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, and chapter 4, excuse me. 1 Peter chapter 3 and chapter 4, if you want to write that down. It talks about that baptism is not just the removal of dirt. He actually says that. Peter, the same guy who walked on water. Peter says, hey, the baptism is not just the removal of dirt, but of a clear conscience towards God. So it's not just a ritual thing. It has to do with what happens to you at that new birth when you said, God, I choose to follow the ways of Jesus. And I choose to receive him. I am a flat out, messed up, flawed person who does my own things and does things against you. And God, for that, I'm sorry for it, and I want to change. When you've done that, you entered into this new walk. And then in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, he says, now in light of all that, change the way you live. But not by your own strength. Because something happens to you as a believer. Because something is now at work in you that wasn't at work before. See, because when you went down into that water, or you, when you accepted Jesus, something in you died. And something else was raised up. Paul said it like this: I'm a new creation in Christ. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And now we have the power within us. You receive the actual Holy Spirit of God, who was living in the temple, now is comes and lives in you and empowers you to live godly. So that you don't have to try to muscle out your salvation anymore. But now I rely on the new created spirit within me to lead me and guide me and to do the right things. To do the thing God intended me to do. To live the way God intended me to do. And you know what it does? It makes me a better husband. It makes me love my wife. It makes me honor her. It makes me not want to lord over her, but love her and encourage her and be the best version of, help Julie become everything God intended Julie to be because of the new nature that's within me. But it's not just me to her, it's her to me. And this marriage that we work, it's her speaking words of encouragement, of affirmation, and all the other love language stuff, right? Her doing all that stuff so that when I go home, like it's a safe place and we're able to love and fellowship and encourage one another and build each other up. And that's just one aspect of my life. That's just in my marriage. But it helps me be a father. It helps me when I do something stupid for my kids, which I've done and do. Don't say amen. Don't say amen. I don't need that amen. Oh, he said never. He said never. Whatever. Okay. Don't lie in church, Wesley. But you know what it causes you to do? When I'm out of line, you know what's great? You know what's great about God? He convicts me. Because you know you were wrong. The way you treated your son was wrong. And you need to go tell him you're sorry. Okay. What does that create in your home? And then, like, take it outside of the home, into your workplace, into the people that are around you, and you go into the schools, and you go into the marketplace, and you're... Yes, well, she says I'm a good boss. So that's good. But it changes the way you live. It's not just a bunch of check boxes. Yes, there's things that we shouldn't do as followers of Jesus, 100%. But it completely changes the way I act and I live in my world because the Spirit of God lives in me. Because those old ways are dead. And they bring destruction. Paul says it like this: the wages, think about this in light of our world. The wages of sin is death. Now ask yourself, we have lived real world scenario. How does it work when a people just say, God, we've had it and now we're done with you? And we've thrown them out as a culture. How's that working? Not at all. Not at all. Because we treat people terrible. We talk about people terrible. We don't live the life of love and we don't honor God's ways and his definitions of right and wrongs. We do it by our own and we're reaping. It breaks my heart. I'm a pastor. I deal with brokenness everywhere in marriages and especially marriages, not here, just, anyway. It's sad, but there's a better way. There's a godly way. There's a way that we live that honors God. And the way I live first to God. And my God, my honor is so grateful because I was going down that life, right? I was going down that life of death. My life was a wreck. Until, I mean, it's so like, we live in such a Christian culture, it's like almost cliche. And you almost lose the power of it. But I met Jesus, like for real met Jesus. And he totally radically changed my life. It was like, I was a guy that lost his dad when he was 16 and floundered through his life. Me and God did not have some good talks. Angry. Did whatever I wanted to do. My poor mom, God help her, God bless her. She got some crowns for dealing with this lost kid, for sure. But then I gave up and I said, I'm tired of choosing right and wrong under my own circumstances and my own thinkings. I have made, my prayer was literally this when I gave my heart to Jesus. God, I have messed up my life royally. I said, God, this wreck of a life, God, I give it to you. I give it to you. Whatever you can do with this wreck of a life that I've made it, I give it to you. That was literally my salvation prayer. And God, I choose your way. And that's the thing, right? It's not just, see, and when I say, so now you hopefully you understand when I say things like, it's more than just having your sins forgiven. It's more than just, like you understand, like, am I gonna say, most of our things are like, well, just come down to four and get and ask for God for forgiveness and you're all good and I'll go, right? And so what does that create? That creates, well, I'm a Christian, I'm aimless. I just do whatever I want still, I guess. Like, God will forgive me. That's not the gospel. The gospel is this. God, your ways are right and true. I don't understand all of your ways. But I know that your ways are better than my ways. And so I choose. And here's the thing that we don't like in American culture, because we don't do kings in America. We don't like our king, we vote him out. When a king's a king, he's a king. So what we do that we're not comfortable with in America is we go, I bow my knee in service and honor and reverence to the king. His ways are now my ways. I bow my knee to the king. And we're raised to walk in a different way. And the work of the Holy Spirit starts working in you. It starts motivating you to do things of God. And it's no more a struggle. There is a struggle, but there's no more like this, I got to do it under my own strength. It's the power of God now working within me. And the Holy Spirit going, go, David, just go. Just go. You got this. Go, go. Always encouraging me, building me up, empowering me to walk in this new way, to empower me to be a better husband, to empower me to be a better community person. That's the life of God. And it's, let me tell you, I've tried it both ways. It's too late for me. It's too late for me. I've chosen my way, and my way, God's way, is better. It's too late. You can say all you want. You didn't live my life. My life is good to the glory of God. Perfect? Nope. Does your dog still die? Yep. Does your wife still fall and break her wrist? Yep. That's why she's not here today. Yeah. Messed up. Sorry, hon. But you know what? The grace of God is still good. Grace of God is still on me. Amen? Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Aren't you grateful for God? Aren't you grateful that there's more to the story than you're bad, God's good, accept his goodness, and you can be saved? That's good. And that's right. Aren't you glad there's more to it? There's abundant life available for you. There's peace available for you. There's peace. Amen. Got something, Rachel? Yeah. This is my daughter.
I was
push the red button.
Okay. I was just gonna say. Okay.
Not help this. Help me. Yep. I was just gonna say. So I know I felt this last Sunday, but you mentioned it again this Sunday. So I was like, okay, Lord. But last Sunday, my dad said something about how he had a moment with Jesus that changed his life. And he said, when you meet Jesus, it changes your life. And then he said it again this Sunday. And so, sometimes when you have a moment where you feel the love of God so intensely, or you have a moment where you just meet, I don't know, you have like this encounter with the Lord, it changes things. And so I just want to say, like, if that's something that's stirring in your heart, come out Friday night. Like, come out Friday night. If you're like, if you're just like, what is he talking about? Like, what is he talking about? This meeting Jesus, this, you know, when you have this moment, things change and you don't want to, you know, go back or you don't want to do whatever, like, come out Friday night. Yeah, I just want to encourage you. Come out Friday night. If you're, if you're like, well, I'm still trying to do this, you know, in my own strength. David, that's great that, you know, you talked about that and then you no longer, you know, it's no longer this weird tension. That's great. But I still deal with that.
Right.
Come out Friday night.
Yeah.
Come out Friday night. Sometimes what it takes is us just taking a step of faith and God will meet us there.
That's good.
And so so if that's you, just come out and see what happens. So
that's good. So good, Rachel. So while we're standing here, that's good. And I totally agree. Come out. But if you're in this place this morning, and you say, man, I've tried this before, but this is what I hear. Maybe there's somebody in here and you're saying, this seems different. This doesn't seem like the he's using different words. And it's just, as the kids today say, it's hitting kind of different this morning. And if that's you, I want you to lean into that. I want you to lean into that. And you say, you know, I sense the authenticity of this moment. And I want to there's things in my life that I need to get right. And I have been a person that's chose my own way. And it hasn't gone well. And you say, maybe in this moment, you say, I want to make that change this morning. I need to have an allegiance to the one who loves me. He's out for my good. His plans are for me are filled with his love and his kindness. And you say, I've been kind of pushing that away. And there's maybe some things about this whole Christianity thing that I don't fully understand, but I know you sense the pulling of God. I would invite you to just step in this morning. Commit. And this is where it gets weird, right? Or not weird, but dicey. It's not just having your sins forgiven. It's saying, I'm committed. I'm committing my life to Jesus this morning and his ways. And I'm aligning myself to him. And if that's you, I want you to just simply, just you and him, ask him. Let's do it. Let's all just pray together. This is very traditional, but we're going to do it. If that's you, I want you to, as we all pray this together, or maybe you're in this place and you say, man, I've been walking in this Christian life, but I haven't really committed my life to him. That's a whole nother step for you. I invite you to commit your life to him. If that's you, or maybe you're still thinking about it, that's fine. Keep coming to church. Keep coming. I get it. life decisions, many times they're not always made in a moment. I get it. But keep coming. If you have questions, reach out to us. But if that's you and you say, today is my day, I know I feel God tugging me and drawing me. As we all pray together, I want you to pray it from just to him. Don't pray about him, pray to him as we talk to him in prayer. Let's all pray together. Just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love me. You're not mad at me. I thank you, God, that your intentions towards me are good. I thank you, God, that your love for me is safe. And I choose this morning to turn from my ways and look to your ways, Jesus, to follow you. I ask you to forgive me of all my wrong when I have chosen right and wrongs under my own choices. I want to follow you, and I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior, as my King, and as my boss. Direct me, God, in Jesus' name. I surrender to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got good news for you and terrifying news. This is a new journey. It's a step, the same kind of step of faith as when Peter stepped out onto the water. Like, what am I getting myself into? And let me address a couple of things. Maybe some of you, I feel like there's been some people in the morning, this morning that made some life decisions this morning. And you're like, am I going to become one of those Christians? You know what? Just follow Jesus. Read his word. Dive into him. If you have questions, ask people. Like in this church, we're unafraid of questions. Actually, we invite them. We invite the questions. We invite conversation. Too long, the church has just said, just shut up and obey. No, we invite the questions. Amen? We're not afraid of the questions. We want to help you on your journey in Christ. Amen? So the first step of your journey is that in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a baptism. Baptism, like what happened to you this morning, is real. I didn't say this, but actually baptism is an outward sign of what's something that's already happened in you, okay? But it's in obedience to Christ that we are to be baptized. If you've never been baptized, we have a great opportunity. You're like, man, the clipboard passed me by. Well, that's okay. We got many clipboards. We do clipboards in our church. It's amazing. There's a board back there in the corner, back corner, on one of those tables. And if you want to get baptized, whether it's a first-time commitment or you're like, man, I have been going down the wrong direction. I'm making some new decisions today. And you want to be, you can be baptized many times. I've been baptized probably, I don't know, half a dozen times. It's all good. And many times it's just a fresh commitment. From one level, the Bible said that we grow from glory to glory. And sometimes when you grow from that next level, make that new commitment, you say, I just need to do it again. Right? It's an outward sign of what's happening on the inside of you. Amen? So I'd invite you to join us with that, and we'll have a baptism. We'll talk about more about that, but if you want to do that, the clipboards are over there, and they're readily available. Actually, why don't you grab another clipboard and bring one up here as well. So, amen? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? It's great being a follower of Jesus. Like, it's wonderful being a part of the life of God. There's the word in the Greek, it's called Zoe. We have people that are named Zoe in our own church. That's amazing. Where's Zoe at? Where's she at? Oh, yeah. Hey, Zoe. That's amazing. You know what that word means? It's a Greek word. It means the life of God, the very life of God, the way God intended it to be, the way you were made for is available to you. And I'm so glad that I don't know what your faith tradition is. I'm rambling. Forgive me. I don't know what your faith tradition is, but man, God is good. Amen. And it's amazing. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Amen, as the song says. So, amen. I'm going to pray this prayer dismissed because I got to shut up. So, God, I pray, God, for every person in this room. Father, I pray, God, for people who have made decisions for you this morning. God, may you give them the courage to step out and make a public declaration of their faith in baptism in a couple of weeks. And God, I thank you, Father, that your word says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And God, I thank you, God, that I'm looking out over this congregation of free people in Jesus' name. People who are free from the bondage of sin, free from the bondage of addiction and all the other stuff that the enemy wants to throw. And God, I thank you, Father, that you're all causing us, that you're causing all of us to grow in our walk with you. God, may we live for you and you alone. In Jesus' mighty name. And as we go, God, may we bring the light of the world, Jesus himself, as we go. May God, I pray that you would help us to be a witness everywhere we go to his goodness. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody shouted a big amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have an amazing, amazing week.